Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Enjoyed the bye week, I guess. It was a little less stressful than kind of sit back and enjoy football and that kind of thing, which I guess we enjoy football no matter what. When Jack State plays, it can turn into more stress than fun at times. But bye week's nice to kind of regroup and that kind of thing. But more than confident what this team can do going forward after the Delaware showing we talked about in the last episode. I think that these next two games, talk about Middle here in a second, and then UTEP after that, I think these two are extremely winnable games for Jack State to get to bowl eligibility and be at 6-3 before we get Kennesaw at home. But Brooks, real quick, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Like you said, it was nice to, you know, kind of like you said, kind of relax and watch football over the past weekend. Wasn't a ton of good games. Couple in the SEC, but for the most part, just kind of weekend for college football. But we are back to Gamecock football from now until the end of the regular season, and hopefully to the conference championship the week afterwards. But with the bye week, you know, like you said, it was I think it was much needed after certainly an up and down start to the first half of the season. Injuries here and there, inconsistency on both sides of the ball. I think it was the bye week came at a good time to work on the things that, you know, we need to be more consistent on, you know, like I stressed about in the last episode, and get healthy. You know, I know everybody might be worrying a little bit about Caden Creel. That was the big one. But Kelly came out in his press conference yesterday, I believe. Yeah, yesterday. And said that he is good. He's good to go. He wanted to go back into the game against Delaware. And Kelly said there was just no way that he was letting that happen. You know, if an absolute just stupid emergency, I think he might have thrown him back out there. But the score was so lopsided at the time, at least, there was just no need to. But it's good to hear that he's healthy, and he said it's not bothering him. He's wearing a sleeve on his left arm, but other than that, he's good to go. So everything's shaping up to, you know, like I said, be as healthy as possible, and hopefully correct some of the things that we really needed to correct over the bye week going into Middle Tennessee. We'll jump into that here in just a minute. But I'll get us started with, we got a little bit of news coming out of the bye week regarding coaching. So it came out in an article in the Gadsden Times that Jeremy Pruitt, former Georgia and Alabama defensive coordinator and Tennessee head coach, is interested, and really Jack State was interested in hiring him as a defensive analyst going into this season. The only thing with that is Pruitt is still under a 6-year show cause order from the NCAA, stemming from his recruiting violations, which at the time was illegal, now is perfectly legal, paying recruits. Recruits and transfers to come to Tennessee, but he's still under the 6-year show cause penalty for that, meaning that anybody who is interested in hiring him would have to prove to the NCAA what kind of parameters they would hire him under, just how involved he would be with the team, their reasoning for wanting to bring him into a program, stuff like that. And that's exactly what Jack State did back in the summer, I believe it was. Yes, it was the summer. At the end of June, the university sent a letter to the NCAA I guess requesting or wanting to show why they wanted to bring Pruitt on the staff as a defensive analyst and what they would how they would be able to make it work within reason of what or within the let me think of what to say within the stipulations of what the NCAA has him under his current suspension. And the part of the reason too is I didn't realize this why Kelly is interested in him. They actually coached together multiple times. They coached together at Florida State, and Kelly was his they coached together at Florida State in 2013, part of that national championship team. And they were they coached together at Tennessee. Kelly was his special teams coordinator in his first staff at Tennessee. So they've certainly got some history. And of course, too, both Alabama natives, you know each other, you know, and from this area too. So you know, they've gotten to know each other very well over the years, both on and off the football field. But right now, what it sounds like is there's also a lawsuit going on between Pruitt and the NCAA, where he is. He's suing the NCAA for trying to be able to get back into coaching, as it pertains to Jack State. Right now, they're just kind of in the waiting stage. They sent the letter, and now the NCAA has finally noticed it in the middle of September, and now they're requesting a meeting with Kelly and the athletic department pertaining to hiring him. So right now, that's just kind of in the waiting stages, I guess. To bring him, I think they could theoretically, if it were approved, they could bring him in season, if the NCAA approved it. Part of the requirements were, Jack State said that he would spend 50% of his time in DeKalb County in Rainesville, working for Jack's or doing his work from there. He wouldn't be with the program 24. He wouldn't be a full time coach. Yes, he will be a defensive analyst. But that's all we really know right now. Right now, we're just kind of waiting to hear what the NCAA says, and waiting to what comes from that meeting between the university and the NCAA. Drew, just want to get your thoughts real quick. Would you be open to bringing him back or bringing him to Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, anyone with that level of experience and success is going to have something to bring to your program. I know that his time at the helm at Tennessee did not we'll just say it didn't go well. I don't need to. I think you guys are familiar enough with that story, I guess. But he's an excellent defensive mind. He said he was a defensive coordinator at Florida State for Jimbo's national title, and Kelly was on staff there. You know, I trust Charles kind of to the point that he wouldn't bring in anyone that's going to hurt the program. Like you said, a lot of what Jeremy Pruitt, or at least what Tennessee was, what happened while he was there, a lot of that's perfectly legal now, and a lot of other schools were also doing it, and he was just kind of the one that got caught. So, I'm not gonna hold that over his head too much. I know there was a lot of other things at Tennessee that didn't really go his way and this and that, but I would, you know, his level of responsibility he would have at JSU is going to be far, far, far below what his level of responsibility at Tennessee was. It's almost like you can't even, you know, compare the two as far as, you know, if he's just going to be a defensive analyst and, you know, like I said, if he works half the time with the team and half the time where he, you know, he's not allowed to be with the team, then that's going to be a lot different. I'm not at all concerned. I don't know if that maybe answers your question. I think that more guys like Kim with experience that can put eyes on this team, and maybe he sees something a little bit differently than Coach Kelly sees it or Coach Williams sees it. Like any extra set of eyes that are experienced as his are, I think is a good thing. So, like Brooks, you said, kind of recapping there, we're waiting on the NCAA and that kind of thing. I mean, it's out of our hands at this point, but if it comes through and it's an option for JSU, I think it's a good one, just based on you're going to add another very experienced set of eyeballs to this football team that should only help JSU perform better.
Yeah, and you know, on the field, I think he'd be a great addition. Or from a coaching standpoint, I think he would be a great addition, especially as up and down as our defense has been all season. And again, you know, I don't know if he would come in, you know, towards the end of the season. I seriously doubt he would. If he, you know, more than likely it would be something going into next season, or you know, maybe for the bowl game. You know, go ahead and get him in and get him adjusted with, like you said, with how Coach Williams and Kelly run their defense. You know, help him make adjustments from there. Whatever it may be on the field, I think it would be a good addition because you know, had really good defenses at Florida State, at Auburn. At Alabama, at Georgia, just wasn't really a head coach. And that happens. There's a lot of guys that are really talented coaches, but aren't necessarily head coaches or fit to be head coaches. And I think he was the case. I've heard the only thing that worries me about him a little bit is I've heard some stories off the field about him, where he's had a good little bit of, we'll say, personal issues, at Georgia, Alabama, and you know, just here and there. But again, too, you know, that was, I mean, it's been what, 4 years, I want to say, four or five years since he was at Tennessee. I think Heupel came in 21. Yeah, he did. Heupel came in 21. So it's been 5 years since he was at Tennessee, and you know, even almost 10 since he was at, you know, Georgia and Alabama. So, you know, that was a long time ago. And, you know, hopefully he's changed a lot in that time. And like he said, you know, the stuff that he really got in trouble for at Tennessee is perfectly legal now. Regardless of what you think about it, it is. So, you know, we're not going to hold that part, you know, over his head, you know, too much. But from a football standpoint, I think it would be a good addition, especially, like I said, as up and down as this defense has been all year. I think, you know, any, like you said, Drew, as experienced guys as he has, and the quality defenses that he's had over the years, I think he would more than likely be a great addition. But We'll just kind of have to see over the coming months what comes from the lawsuit between him and the NCAA, what comes from the meeting between Jack State and the NCAA. There's just a lot we're going to have to kind of wait and see. But overall, I'll say I'm for it. But that's the little bit of coaching news. We want to get into this Wednesday.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah.
sorry, I don't want to take blows at what they've got going on in Murfreesboro. I did live in the area in Murfreesboro when I was in school for, I think 6 or 8 months, something like that. It's had some stuff they had to send me up there for. Super nice area. So for those that are going to make the trip, it's not very far. It's like 3 hours from Jacksonville up north to Murfreesboro. So it's not three and a half. It's not too bad of a trip. Those are going. It's going to be that'll be a lot of fun. That's when me and Brooks were going to go to and had tickets just about ready to go. And then we've just got some live stuff going on. That's an away game we're not going to be able to make it for. But again, we'll be on TV and that kind of thing with you guys. But Middle Tennessee State, man. You know, when they hired Derek Mason last offseason. You know, I think me and Brooks, both of us thought that was a good hire for Middle Tennessee to make. He was a guy that was, you know, very familiar with the area in Nashville or Murfreesboro, very, very close to Nashville. Guy that's familiar with the area. Anyone who has success at Vandy can coach. Now, the success they're having now under Clark Lee is a whole different level of Vanderbilt football that we're not going to compare Coach Mason to. But while Coach Mason was there, he did a lot of really good things at Vandy. And I think he just kind of ran out of juice there to where Vandy's hard to recruit and that kind of thing. And then what do you have, a couple of years off, Brooks, 2 or 3 years off of coaching? I know he's on TV doing some stuff. I forget what network.
I think so, yeah.
And then he gets to middle. And me and Brooks both thought that was a good hire. He's shown the ability to recruit at Vanderbilt. Like I said, he knows the area. And even last year, it seemed like the offense was in pretty good shape under Vadiato, and they moved the ball really well. They had some red zone issues. The defense wasn't great. And, you know, me and Brooks, unfortunately, kind of picked Middle Tennessee to be the dark horse team in this conference. If Coach Mason, who's a defensive guy in nature anyway, could fix the Blue Raider defense and they could fix the red zone issues the offense has, me and Brooks thought this team had potential to be pretty decent. And, man, they have made a complete 180 the opposite direction, to the point where I don't think Derek Mason will have a job at the end of the year. There are very few group of five hires that are out after two seasons, and this might be an example of one of them, because they are struggled, or have struggled, I should say, in pretty much every facet of the game. Like I said, they're 1-6. Their only win was a fourth quarter comeback against Nevada way back in, I think, week three. I know they dropped the game to Austin Peay to start the year, and then they got slaughtered by Austin Peay. It wasn't particularly a close football game. And then they had to play Wisconsin after that. Wisconsin, obviously, there's a talent level spread there. And then they got the win against Nevada to kind of get back on the right track, and they still just haven't gotten back to where they should be since then. We'll see Vadiato play quarterback for them in this game. He's thrown for a little over 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns to 5 picks. So last year, a big part of his issue was he would turn the ball over. It seems like that's actually gotten a little bit better. I mean, 5 picks over the course of, 6 or 7 games is not a terrible rate there at all. But we should see him there at quarterback. Jaquiel Middlebrook will be their leading rusher. He's got 87 carries for 501, so he's averaging about 5.8 per carry in the backfield there for middle. So he's been pretty good there. And then they spread the ball around. They don't have anybody over 400 yards receiving, but they have like 7 guys over 150 yards. They got a lot of guys between 150 and 400. So you'll see a whole host of receivers and tight ends catch the ball there for Middle Tennessee State. So the attack's going to be similar to what we saw last year. They're going to throw it. They're going to mix in the run when they feel like they need to. That running back I talked about, Jaquiel Middlebrook, is also their 4th leading receiver, so they will throw him the ball as well out of the backfield. He's got over 200 yards receiving on the year as well. So the attack will be similar to what we saw last year. They're going to let Vadiato throw it as much as he's probably capable, and if that moves the ball against JSU, but as far as degree of difficulty, we said this a couple episodes ago, Jack State's road conference schedule, like, you couldn't pick a better road conference schedule for JSU. And they're getting Sam Houston on the road, who's the worst team in football. They're getting Middle on the road here this week, who is maybe the second worst team in football. And they're getting UTEP on the road after that. And the only part about playing UTEP on the road that makes it a little bit tough is it's so far away from home. That will have to be a plane trip and that kind of thing. I would imagine they're not flying to Murfreesboro. I don't know that for certain, but I imagine that's probably a bus trip for Jack State. I mean, it's just such a short ride up there. I don't know. This, as far as road games go, like we said it about Sam Houston, that was a game JSU has to have. This is a game they've got to win. There's no excuse, there's no reason to go to Murfreesboro and not win this game by more than, I would beat Sam Houston by 1 point, 2 points. There's no excuse to not go win this game by more than 2 points.
Right now we're a 5.5 point favorite.
Yeah, we're a 5.5 point favorite. I would love to tell you all that if,
excuse me, 6.5. It opened at 5.5. Money moved towards us, 6.5.
Okay. I'd love to be able to tell you all to throw your house payment on that 6.5. None of us have seen it on the road yet. As good as they looked last week against a good Delaware team, as good as they looked at times against Liberty, as good as they looked against UCF the first week of the year, that's still the best they've played on the road all year, was the first game of the season. That I am confident in this team to go win, but maybe cautiously confident because I know the kind of road performances we've had up to this point. And, you know, we said last week that a lot of wrongs could have been right, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, a lot of wrongs, you know, could have been righted against Delaware with a good performance. And they had a good performance there against Delaware, and everybody was very confident after. Everybody still is very confident after that Delaware game. Well, the same thing could be said this week. A lot of doubts people have about this team on the road. And when I say a lot of people, I mean you guys that listen and guys we're on Twitter with that are close, you know, that really follow this team the way that me and Brooks do. Like, that's still, there's a level of uncertainty about this team doing anything on the road still. Because they did not look good against Southern Miss. They played bad in the first half against Georgia Southern, the first quarter against Georgia Southern. They almost had a nightmare game against Sam Houston if it wasn't for a 52-yard game winner. So they have not earned, really, or met our expectations on the road. Like, this is a get-right game on the road for Jack State. Like, they need to go to Middle, play their brand of football, the same football we saw them play against Delaware, and win this game by 14, 21, 28, 35 points, whatever it's going to end up being. And then everyone will feel a lot better. We'll be at 5-3. We'll have another road game against UTEP to get to bowl eligibility. And we'll be rolling in conference on our way to, and hopefully, another conference title game appearance, and then maybe another conference title game victory if all goes our way. But as far as what I see from Jack State, it's what I just said. You know, we're going to have better athletes, we're better coached, we're better prepared. We are a better team than Middle Tennessee State. I need to see this team go prove it on the road. And then I'll really be in the, all right, we're the best team in the conference. Let's go do what we do. So for me, that's kind of where I'm at. As far as what the defense needs to do, they, of course, the same thing that we saw them do last week or 2 weeks ago against Manicucci. Like, they played against the pass pretty well. I know he had over like 400 yards passing, so the numbers looked weird after the game was over because of that kind of lame duck fourth quarter we saw. But the same game plan we saw against Nick Minicucci in the first three quarters, they just need to take that and play the same way against Nick Vadiata, who's a guy that can throw it. I do think that Middle will probably be able to run it better than what Delaware could. Delaware couldn't move the ball on the ground at all. They had, 37 yards rushing or something like that at the end of the game, and they had no shot of running against Jack State. I'm sure that Middle will do a little bit better than that, but they are still going to be a very balanced, maybe even lean pass-heavy attack for Middle Tennessee. And I like to see the secondary kind of have a repeat performance from last week. And I think that'll put them in a good spot. Jaheim Jenkins had a good game last week. Caleb Nix did. Of course, Max Sanders, me and Brooks think, might be the best player on this defense overall so far. If the front seven with Oibadejo and Curtis Perry and Isaac Walker and those guys can get pressure on Vadiata, that'll help that secondary out. We saw them do that last week against Delaware, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, against Delaware. I'd like to see that same kind of performance from the front seven. And then beyond that, just feed Cam Cook, because this Middle Tennessee State defense is not very good. Like you said, Caden Creel should be healthy. I would like for the offense to play to the level that maybe doesn't make Caden Creel run the ball as much. You know, like if Coach Trickett's offensive line can do what they need to do to let Cam Cook kind of be that guy, or let Christian Lando be that guy, or let Andrew Paul be that guy that can move the ball, maybe we'll take a little workload off of Caden Creel for this week. I know he, like Brooks said and Coach Kelly said, he seems perfectly healthy, so that's probably me being overcautious. But instead of Caden Creel having 15 or 20 rushing attempts, I'd like for us to win this game by 21 points and him maybe have 10 rushing attempts or 5 rushing attempts, kind of ease him back in. I know it's his off arm, it's his left arm injury, hyperextension, doesn't seem to be too bad. He wanted to go back in and play. So again, maybe that's not really required, but it'd be nice if we had a week to where we could lean on Cam Cook maybe a little bit more than we normally do, or Christian Lando, or whoever it may be. Not that we don't lean on Cam Cook a lot. I mean, he's half for more than half the offense. So anyway, I'd like to see Caden Creel not be able to, or not have to run the ball quite as much. Maybe we see him throw the ball a little bit more. As far as, like, I think Caden Creel threw the ball last week before the injury better than we've seen him throw it all year. And that was including missing a wide open DeAndre Johnson for a 70-yard walk-in touchdown. I still thought he threw the ball really, really well. Touchdown pass to to Rec Center was a good throw. He made several good throws over the middle last week. I'd like to see that continue against a defense that should allow you to do that. I mean, there's a lot of focus, and this goes for anybody. This is not a Middle Tennessee State like take here. This is against anybody. Cam Cook is going to require so much attention. The defense has to pay so much attention to him that against anybody, Caden Creel and the offense should be able to move the ball through the air when they want to. So I'd like to see that continue. Last week or against Delaware, he was 14 for 21, which is, you know, much better than we've seen. Like Brooke said in the Delaware recap, he needs to keep his eyes downfield more, give his routes more time to develop. So maybe that'll be something we can kind of look at. But, you know, we kind of put our foot in our mouths against Sam Houston. Me and Brooks did. We said that this is a glorified Murray State game for JSU, and it really didn't work out that way. I'm not going to say that about Middle Tennessee State, but those are my, closet expectations of I would like to be at halftime 31-3, and let's try some fun stuff. Because this is a team that should give you the ability to do that. They have one win for a reason. So I'll let Brooks kind of give his thoughts here. But for me, it's show us that you can win on the road and do it in convincing fashion against a team that you are better than.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. This is absolutely a prove it game for Jack State. We know what we do well. We had the off week to make the corrections. We've looked fantastic at home for the most part. Now we just gotta let's transition it to on the road, prove that we are comfortable playing away from our crowd, our stadium, our environment. And you know, I know we said earlier they're bad, but you know, and you know, good teams are just don't go 1-6. They absolutely do not. But you know, you look at some of these scores, and they're not. I'll say that they don't know how to win. And I know you hear that get thrown around, and it kind of sounds silly, but that's what good teams, they find ways to win. They know how to win. Prime example, you know, like Alabama this year, a lot of people were, you know, I know there's two polar opposite programs, but a lot of people were expecting them to be about like they were last year, going 9-3, you know, lose a couple games here and there that they shouldn't. But, you know, that South Carolina game, they found a way to win. Georgia game, they got shut out in the second half, but they found a way to win. Good teams find ways to win. And Middle Tennessee has been in these close games. I mean, the last, all three of the conference games, have been one score games. The last two have been by a field goal or less. But they find ways to lose for the most part. You know, whether it be, you know, back and forth all game and Vadiato throws an interception, or, you know, defense gives up a late touchdown, you know, whatever it may be, they find ways to lose. But, you know, and looking at some of these numbers, Vadiato, you know, he's averaging about an interception in the game, but for the most part, he's been about like he was last year. And I know that doesn't, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing, because they were able to move the ball all year last year. They were able to get to the other side of the field. They just weren't able to score. This year, I think they're finding the end zone a little bit more consistently. But he's averaging about a pick a game. He's throwing for over 250 yards, which for, you know, a Conference USA quarterback, it's not bad, but he's still averaging a pick a game. He's doing little things here and there that are costing middle of the game. And, you know, I think, you know, if our defense does, you know, this is a prime opportunity for our defense to take advantage of that, take advantage of those opportunities where middle is shooting themselves in the foot and be able to give the offense an opportunity to blow this game wide open, instead of, you know, scaring us half to death like they did against Sam Houston a few weeks ago. So it's not a game to take lightly by any means. But at the same time, you know, like you said, you know, these are two of the the two games that we got coming up this week against Middle and next week against UTEP are certainly opportunities to, you know, like you said, keep getting that momentum in the conference, especially going into 3 weeks, a very tough Kennesaw team. Fortunately, we get them home, but keep, you know, showing that we can win on the road, showing that, you know, we can close out or we can separate ourselves in these road games, especially against the bottom of the conference. But we need to see it, plain and simple. And we haven't really proved it yet. Like you said, the only reason that we saw it against a bad Sam Houston team was thanks to, you know, a great clock management, great well put together last drive by Clint Trickett and staff, leading to a 52-yard boot from Garrison Brippa. But again, that was against the by far the worst team in the conference, in front of a stadium of, I think, maybe 50 people were there, if that. So, you know, this is going to be a little bit different. I know Middle's, you know, probably doesn't have a ton of fan support right now. They're talking about, you know, wanting to get rid of Mason. It's just kind of surprising. I really, really thought they were going to take that next step this year. I thought Mason was going to be a good coach, but it just hasn't panned out. But what I want, you know, more than anything, what I want to see from us is, you know, continuing, you know, a lot of what I stressed last week, coming off, or you know, I guess 2 weeks ago, coming off the Delaware game, is just finding that consistency from Caden Creel. He's good at finding the open receivers when he has time, when he's got a clean pocket. I want to see him continue to grow and get more comfortable with a little bit of pressure with a couple defenders in his face, you know, maybe holding the ball to the last second till, holding the ball, you know, to the last second to, if there's an open receiver. If not, you know, take off with his feet. That's what he's good at. Or, you know, if need be, take the sack or get rid of it. Just seeing that continued growth from him, seeing more consistency from the defense. We did a much better job against Delaware defending the middle, but defending the middle of the field. But we gave up a lot of deep balls. As much as Middle likes to throw the ball, they like to let Vadiato air it out. They're going to take those deep shots, especially against a little bit weak, you know, our weaker cornerbacks. Keep building that consistency. And in turn, they did get those deep shots, but we did in the first three quarters, we did a pretty decent job defending the red zone. So, you know, or at least our side of the field, you know, 40, you know, from the, about the 40 yard in. So just, you know, keep getting that consistency, keep getting better. And this is, you know, we haven't been able to do it on the road. I think too, you know, Middle's going to look at what Delaware did and how well they zeroed in on Cam Cook, and they're going to try and do a lot of the same things. Not a lot of teams have just ran rampant on Middle, at least in conference. The most rushing yards that they gave up in conference was their opener against Kennesaw, and even then, they only gave up 157. Cam Cook gets that on his own. On top of, Christian Lando's been getting more and more involved. Of course, Creel usually has about 70, 80 yards rushing. So it's certainly going to be a much different rushing attack that this Middle Tennessee, that Middle's going to be facing. But, you know, if we can get him in a groove, if we can get Cook in a groove, like what we're used to seeing out of him, I don't think there's going to be any stopping this. There's going to be any stopping this offense. But again, we got to prove it. We just hadn't been able to do it on the road so far. Plain and simple, it's a prove it game. I expect us to go in and, you know, blow this game wide open, to where we should cover the spread more than comfortably. But just, we're going to have to see.
Yeah, it's, you know, you said that that Middle doesn't know how to win. And that's there's a lot of truth to that, right? Good teams find ways to win. Good teams know how to win. And even the numbers for Middle Tennessee reflect that almost, right? I mean, they are 10th in the conference. They're giving up 29.7 points per game. They're giving up 30 a game. That's a lot of points to give up on defense. But they're fourth against the run and fifth against the pass. Like, where are all these points coming from? Same with the offense. They're close to the bottom. They're 11th in the conference. They're scoring 18.5 a game. But they're 8th in yards. And they're 5th throwing the ball. So, like, they're you know, underlying numbers are not of a 1-6 football team. They're out of a 3-3 football team, maybe. But Brooks, like you said, they just don't seem to know how to win. And if you are confused about what I mean by that, like JSU is a great example of a team that knows how to win. It was more evident in the last few years with Rich Rod. Like, those teams knew how to win. Like, I don't know how many games that we watched the 3 years that he was here that I finished the game like, how in the world did we win? The New Orleans Bowl is an example. That team should have never won that game. They spotted Louisiana 21 points.
And so I say we should have got beat by 3 scores.
Yes. Like, they had no business winning that game. But believe me, I'm happy that they did. I went. It was a great trip. It was the best Jackson game I've probably ever seen. I know that's like a hot take because the whole Sam Houston semifinal game is a lot of people's favorite. And then the Chattanooga overtime game is a lot of people's favorite. But for me, that New Orleans Bowl was very, very special. But they should have never won that game. Sam Houston on the road 2 years ago, they should have never won that game. They were down 28-7 and had to win that game in overtime. They shouldn't have beat Sam Houston 3 weeks ago. Middle
on the road 2 years ago. They led the whole game. We didn't run away with it until late in the third quarter, earlier in the fourth.
Yeah. Like Jack State over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, this even goes back to some of the Gross days and beyond. Like, we have been spoiled by a lot of teams in a row that know how to win and know how it's done. And there's an art form to that. That is not something that just comes with talent. You can have all the talent in the world, but you have to learn how to win football games. Scott Frost at Nebraska could not figure that out, and now he's at UCF having a pretty good year. That's just another example. Like, Middle has a winning the game issue. I don't think that, like we just said, their underlying numbers are not horrible. They're not great. I'm not saying that they should be 6-1 or 7-0 or whatever. But when you have a defense that's giving up almost 30 per game, and they're fifth against the pass and fourth against the run, like, where are those points coming from? And a lot of that has to do with, you know, their offense isn't great. They struggle to run the ball, at least on a yards per attempt basis. They don't run the ball very well. So I'm sure they're setting up some of their opponents with short fields. You know, Vadiato's averaging almost a pick per game. I think it's probably like 0.8 interceptions per game. So I'm sure that their offense has set their opponents up with short fields from time to time. But even then, if you're top five in the conference versus the run and the pass, like, how are you giving up 30 points a game? And that's yards per attempt and passing yards per game that I get those numbers from. So there's more underlying numbers that go along with those that may point to giving up that many, but just from a glance look at some of the numbers here, like you said, Brooks, they have a finish or a winning issue in Murfreesboro that Jack State should hopefully be able to exploit. And that line at 6.5, even taking into consideration that they're fairly decent against the run and okay against the pass, at least on a per or yards per attempt or yards per game basis, it doesn't change the fact they're giving up 30 points a game. Go out and score 35 points in this game, and you're going to feel really good about yourselves. This is like we said, a prove it game for Jack State, regardless of the underlying numbers there for Middle. But it is very interesting to kind of look at some of this stuff and try to figure out, you know, how are we 1-6 when we've done a decent job at doing some of this stuff. I'm sure if you're a Middle Tennessee State fan, it is very, very difficult to watch. And, you know, some of those get inflated by, you know, they gave up, 13 points in Nevada, so that helps a little bit as far as I'm sure defense had a good day there and that kind of thing. So it's just interesting to look at. But doesn't change the fact at all that JSU should not have any issue going to Murfreesboro, getting to 5-3, and then getting back home for a quick week of practice before having to go on the road to El Paso to the Sun Bowl, which hopefully if any of you guys are listening and are going on that trip and taking pictures, please send them to us. Some JSU pictures at the Sun Bowl, something that at least I really want to see. That's still one of my favorite venues in football. That place is gorgeous. So be safe down there on the border, though. And beyond that, Brooks, unless you have any more Middle Tennessee thoughts, we'll kind of go over the conference slate for the week. There is, I believe, a game on right now, but I will go over the conference slate for the week. I should say right now, we're recording this on Monday. There's a game tomorrow when you guys will be listening to this, but we'll go over that real quick, Brooks, if you have those for us.
Yeah, like you said, there will be a game tomorrow, UTEP and Kennesaw State. That game is at Kennesaw. Honestly, not a whole lot to talk about with that game. Kennesaw ought to be – they're a 10.5-point favorite. And the total's 50. That Kennesaw ought to be able to score that on their own. There's just for UTEP was another one that we talked about before the season could be kind of a sleeper pick depending on what they could Malachi Nelson, what they could get out of him, and he's benched. He didn't even see the field against Sam Houston last week. And they took care of business against Sam Houston, but Sam Houston's just, they're just bad. But it was all Skyler Locklear that game. I don't see, but, you know, looking at some of their other scores, got beat 19-8 against Liberty, which I don't think, or we all know Liberty's not that good. Got ran over by La Tech. Got beat by La Monroe. Now they play decent with Texas, but I don't think anybody believes in Texas. I don't care what the record is. I don't care who the quarterback is. But I think Kennesaw ought to be able to take care of business pretty comfortably. Of course, our game, FIU and Missouri State, FIU at Missouri State. This one, I'm kind of interested, or it kind of messes with my brain. What kind of FIU are we going to see? Are we going to see the FIU that just ran over Western, or the FIU that got embarrassed by Kennesaw and UConn and about 15 other schools? I think the talent's there for them to be good and, you know, potentially win this game, but I don't know. I really don't know what to make of FIU. One week they blow me out of the water, they blow my mind. I think my preseason take about them is back on track, and then they go and play a stinker. In Missouri State, you know, still kind of we expected Delaware to come in and, you know, be the better team, but out of those two, but playing pretty dang good so far in conference. 2-1 record, and their only loss was the preseason conference favorite, or I guess second, and only losing to Western by 5. So certainly a talented Missouri State. I think Missouri State all should take care of business, but we'll see. La Tech, Sam Houston. And not a lot to talk about with that game. La Tech ought to be able to just run over them and move on to the next. Delaware and Liberty is going to be interesting. The game's at Liberty. Will we see Ethan Vasco continue to improve and get a little bit better? They had to have some help, or they had to have pretty much a gift of a missed field goal against New Mexico State to avoid overtime with them. Who knows how that game goes? But Liberty kind of finding their footing. I don't think they're in a great spot to looking at their schedule. They still got Missouri State, La Tech and Kennesaw coming up. I don't think they're in a great spot to be in the conference championship game this year. But you know, we'll see. We'll see if Delaware can build off their big win last week against against Middle. And then New Mexico State, Western Kentucky. That's the last game on Saturday. That'll be kind of an interesting one. I think New Mexico State's another one that's kind of up and down. On paper, Western should run over them. But New Mexico State kind of hanging around with some of these schools, or other schools in the conference. Only lost by a touchdown to Missouri State. Again, the gift of a missed field goal for Liberty. Only lose to them by 3 on the road. The only one that's really just ran over them in conference was La Tech, who's been kind of shaky. But I think this is the first time in a couple weeks that there's a I don't think anybody's got an off week. But this will be the first time in a few weeks that it's a full conference slate. So should be an interesting there's potential for an upset here and there, but should be an interesting week in conference.
Yeah, it's, you know, the midweek stuff, you get a lot of teams on bye and that kind of thing. So it's good to have a, like you said, a full conference slate to look at. I mean, besides the JSU game for me, I think the Delaware Liberty game probably interests me the most. Just from the standpoint that, you know, Liberty is still in contention to make the conference tally. I mean, I only say that because of the athletes that we think they have, and that they were the best team in conference in 2023 and went to the 2024 and whatever the year was, went to a Fiesta Bowl and all that kind of stuff. And I've been the consensus favorite the last 2 years. They have not looked like that. But, you know, it's put up or shut up time for Liberty. If they get beat by Delaware, they're done just about, you know. So they're at 3-4. They had a brutal non-conference schedule. I don't mean by difficulty, but just by not playing well. Of course, they dropped the game against JSU. Like, their margin for error for Liberty is now zero. They're going to, you know, be in the conference title game that everybody thought they'd be in. And I don't think anybody thinks they're going to be there anymore. But if anybody in this conference who's below 500 is going to turn it around at the back half of the season, it would probably be Liberty. And it's going to start at home this week. They're 3.5-point favorites against Delaware. I don't know. They have not proven themselves capable of being a 3.5-point favorite against Delaware, but they are anyway. So if Liberty can go get a convincing win against Delaware, then maybe they do earn a little bit more respect, and they can kind of work themselves toward being in contention at season's end for the conference championship game. But, you know, it'll have to be proven to me, because I do not believe in Jamie Chadwell or that football team right now. I don't think anybody really does. And then beyond that, Brooks, like you said, there's a lot of games against, you know, like Kennesaw State and UTEP should be a win for Kennesaw. Sam Houston, Louisiana Tech should be a win for La Tech. Mexico State and Western should be a win for Western. There's a lot of games with kind of some, and JSU the same way. There are a lot of games between like bottom of the conference teams and top of the conference teams this week that does kind of elevate that Delaware Liberty game, even the FIU Missouri State game. Those are kind of two teams in the middle of this conference jockeying for position. Another thing to look at this week, and obviously it's not concerned JSU at all, but Missouri State's got 4 wins, and so does Delaware. Recent history would suggest that there will be not enough bowl-eligible teams at the season's end. You know, worked out in JSU's favor in 2023. It can work out in Missouri State and Delaware's favor this year, that, you know, if they get to that 6-win mark and there are not enough bowl-eligible teams, and those two teams to go play in a bowl game, which would be great for those two programs, great for the conference. So, you know, if those two teams can each get win number 5 this week, that would go a long way towards them getting the bowl eligibility and that kind of thing. So just another little thing to kind of throw in there for those two schools. Obviously, they're going to have a lot of help at the end of the year. If any Delaware or most state fans are listening, that week 12, staying up till 12 in the morning, rooting for teams to lose is about as much fun as you can have on a Saturday night, man. I watched, what was it, South Carolina and Clemson like it meant the world, pulling for Clemson to keep South Carolina at 5 wins, which they did. So that's something else to think about with this schedule. But, you know, as far as, you know, those of you on Twitter that see the power rankings every week and things like that, there can be a lot of movement this week if some of the bottom of the conference teams, you know, have an upset and can beat some of those top teams. There could be a lot of movement this week compared to the last few weeks where we haven't seen a lot of movement just because there's been a lighter conference slate and a lot of the teams we expected to win have, with the exception of Western laying an egg there against FIU, which only helped out JSU. That was really, really big for Jack State, for Western to already have one conference loss, which pretty much means if Jack State drops a game against Kennesaw, they pretty much still control their own destiny. That if they win out, that would include a win against Western. That would give Western 2 losses, and JSU should still be able to get themselves in the title game if that were to be the case. There may be a weird tiebreaker if JSU drops another game, but we don't plan on dropping any games. But it's kind of set up for Jack State to be able to drop one and still be there at season's end. So that was a big game for JSU, even though it was early on in the year and we may not realize. But other than that, that's pretty much the wrap for this week. We do have big life plans over the weekend, so we will either get the Middle Tennessee State recap up before the weekend starts, or Monday or Tuesday of the week after. Just kind of depends how everything goes. We'll keep you guys updated on Twitter for all of that. But as usual, if you're still with us, thank you for giving us your time for this long. You guys, the reason we get to do this every week, we're more than thankful for the support that you guys show. We say it a lot, but, you know, we would have been happy with 15 listeners. We have a lot more than that. And you guys seem to really, really, at least part of you seem to enjoy the show, which is good. And no one loves Jack State football more than me and Brooks, and you guys are listening. So hopefully we'll talk to you guys pretty soon and talk about another JSU victory that'll put them to 4-0 in conference and in the driver's seat to once again host a title game if everything goes our way. So other than that, we will we'll leave you there, and we'll see you guys here in a few days.
See y'all.